In the cockpit, Jack Taggart activated the armatures that raised the entire wing so it was at an angle to the fuselage. The added drag and the dynamics of the new configuration kept the plane incredibly stable as it started its long glide back to the airfield outside of Monahans, Texas.
"What did you think?" he asked.
"Just a moment." Taggart thought Eric might be sick, and he craned around to look, but Stone was concentrating on his computer. The kid had just been given the ride of his life, and he was already working. Taggart admired the dedication, thinking back to his first shuttle mission. He hadn't been able to do anything but stare out the window his first hour up here.
"Repeat that, Elton. Over."
"I said we've got confirmation from the bird's onboard telemetry. She has fired her maneuvering thrusters and is changing orbit. Targeting computers are online, and it's going through its pre-fire checklist. Congratulations! You did it!"
Eric didn't know if he wanted to shout for joy or cry. In the end, he settled for a simple satisfaction that his plan was going to work. Back aboard the Oregon, Juan ordered an aerial drone to be launched as soon as the ship was within range of Eos Island. George Gomez Adams piloted the UAV from a console behind Cabrillo's seat. Only the chairman and Holly were members of the First Watch, the watch Juan always used when steaming into a potentially dangerous situation. And it wasn't as if the replacements were any less competent. He just preferred to have his people with him at a time like this. Eric and Mark and the others could anticipate his orders as if they could read his mind, shaving seconds off reaction times, seconds that could mean the difference between life and death. Eddie was down in the boat garage prepping the RIB, the rigid inflatable boat, with Link and the gun dogs. There was only one dock on Eos, and they suspected it was heavily defended, but it might be their only way onto the island. The real-time video feed from the flying UAV would give them an idea of the defenses they might face. Down in the moon pool, the dive team was prepping the Nomad 1000 in case they needed the larger of their two submersibles, and laying out tanks and equipment for a 10-man underwater assault. Weapons crews had gone over every gun on the Oregon, ensuring they were cleaned and the ammo hoppers were full. Damage control reported they were prepped, and Julia was down in medical if the worst happened and her services were needed. Juan glanced at the digital countdown on the main view screen. They had 1 hour and 11 minutes to find Max and get his sorry butt off the island. In truth, they had less than that, because when the orbital ballistic projectile slammed into Eos, there was a good chance it would spawn a massive wave. Eric's calculations said that it would stay localized, and the topography of the sparsely populated Gulf of Mandalay would severely dampen its effect, but any ship within 20 miles of Eos was in for a wild ride. The Oregon was 15 miles from the island when its image from the UAV slowly resolved on the main monitor like a gray lump on the otherwise brilliant seas that gave this part of Turkey the nickname Turquoise Coast. George flew the drone over the 8-mile-long island at 3,000 feet, high enough so its engine couldn't be heard, and with the sun beginning a rapid slide into the west, it would be near impossible to see. Eos was nothing but barren rock and the occasional scrub pine. He focused the UAV's camera on where the responsivists had built their bunker, but there was nothing to see. Any entrance remained well camouflaged from this altitude. The only way to know it was even there was the paved road that terminated at the base of a low hillock.
"Holly, capture a couple stills off the feed and enhance them," Juan ordered. "See if you can find any doors or gates at the head of the road."
"I'm on it."
"Okay, George, swing us around. I want to check out the beach and dock."
Using his joystick, Adams banked the remote-controlled plane back over the sea so he could approach the dock from out of the sun. The beach stretched for only a few hundred feet, and rather than soft white sand, it was composed of water-worn rock chips.
Sheer cliffs rose more than 100 feet on either side of the beach, hemming it in completely. The cliffs themselves appeared unassailable without climbing equipment and a few hours.